is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, coming to you this Monday, the day after the Pelicans beat Denver on the road in a very critical game for them, 115-90. Please forgive me, as I was an idiot last night and completely forgot my microphone. It's not in the spot where I'm obviously recording, so I'm kind of screaming into my laptop's mic here. So obviously not going to be the best, but hey, the important thing is the win by 25 points, especially because the Pelicans led by as many as 35. They came to play last night. That's a big difference from, you know, the end result of what happened on Friday where they did lose to the Rockets. We're not really going to touch on that game much. Important things to note from that Rockets game, though, were that DeMarcus Cousins kind of sprained his ankle a little bit, didn't miss that Denver game, again, making that win even more impressive. And also, Ryan Anderson, I'm not going to be mean and say, I'm not going to call him names in little things I could say here, little being one of the key words, maybe, describing what he is, but he flopped all over the place trying to defend DeMarcus Cousins. It was pretty ugly. Cousins had his way with him, having a big game. So did Anthony Davis, though. Frankly, it's just not enough scoring to keep up with that Rockets team, who's solidly in the three spot in the Western Conference playoffs. But the big one was the Pels on this three-game road trip going to Houston, then Denver, then tonight against the Utah Jazz. Had to basically go 2-1, and one of those wins had to be against the Denver Nuggets, and boy, did the Pelicans bring it. I'm going to talk about this game here on Locked On Pelicans, maybe a little bit about the playoff race, where they stand right now, and a few other things that we saw in this game. Break it all down for you, give you a quick preview for the Jazz game, though. Again, this is going to be a tough one, we'll see, but you had to get that win at Denver last night. All right, so let's talk about that 25-point win. You know, the first thing was the Pels looked like this might be a little bit of a rough game to start the first quarter. Denver was kind of scoring at will, particularly on backdoor cuts. The Pels didn't look keyed in on defense. And as they went down early, Alvin Gentry called the timeout earlier than he normally would and clearly got in his team's head and got them coming out of that timeout playing well. And they basically just went on to crush and roll. And, you know, it starts with Anthony Davis in the absence of DeMarcus Cousins, 31 points, 15 rebounds. And actually, this was pretty cool. He's the first player with at least 14 games of 30 points, 15 rebounds in a season since Shaq in the 99-2000 season. So 14, 30 and 15 games this year. I think I read a stat, and I couldn't find where it was, unfortunately. I really wanted to put it in here. Maybe I'll try and find it and do it tomorrow. But basically, with those 14, it's got more than like every other player in the league combined, I believe, or at least some of the big names. Maybe not every guy, but more than I think it was Westbrook, Karl Anthony Towns, and someone else combined. 14, 30, and 15 games. He came out, was aggressive, said it was because Kentucky lost. So if Kentucky's going to lose and he's going to play well, I hope Kentucky loses pretty much every time. Won't lie here. And I know a couple of Kentucky fans listen in on this because they root for their, you know, their guys out in the NBA right now. But frankly, if it might lead the Pelicans to a playoff spot, and now they're four games back of Denver and Portland, who are tied for that eighth seed right now. I'm going to talk about the chance of making the playoffs towards the end of the podcast. But Denver and Portland are tied now with Portland's win over the Lakers last night. So Anthony Davis, 31 and 15. You got 13 points, 7 assists out of Jrue Holiday, and most importantly, 0 turnovers. Tim Frazier got into double digits, 11 points, just 1 turnover, 8 assists out of him. For your starting backcourt, getting 23 points, 15 assists, and one turnover. That is ideal for this Pelicans team, particularly if they have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins out there on the court at the same time. Going down the list some more, what have we talked about with Pelicans guys scoring in double digits? Etuan Moore with 12. Donatus Mata-Yunus, in the absence of Cousins, got about 19 minutes of burn on the court last night. 13 points, 8 rebounds for him. Jordan Crawford, instant grits off the bench. Michael Jordan Crawford, 13 points, another double-digit performance. Alexei Ajintsev played 18 minutes, had 6 points defensively. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But you had, 6 guys in double figures. You know that's almost the magic number. If they can get 6 guys in double figures, the Pels have a very good chance of winning. And it shows, when they get other guys contributing, it's not just Davis carrying the team. Yeah, he might lead the way, or him and Cousins might lead the way, or maybe just Cousins leads the way. But they need help around him. And you saw it last night as this Pelicans team came out ready to play, knew it was a must-win, and did everything they could to try and win this game. And we're going to talk a little bit now about how much they absolutely dominated. All right, so this game, and again, how dominant the Pelicans were, when you look at some of the numbers, Denver's the top rebounding team in the league, and the Pels grabbed 86% of all available defensive rebounds. Again, that key number I've said is you got to get, 78% and above. Well, 86 is an incredible number, and they also grabbed about 20% of all available offensive boards. So they just absolutely pounded out this win on the glass on both ends, offensively and defensively, grabbing key offensive rebounds down the stretch. When Denver was probably out of it when the Pels were up by 25 and so. But if you can still grab an offensive rebound after a miss and not even give them a chance to come back into the game, that's only going to be a good thing. And the Pelicans did just that last night in a very impressive fashion. Another area where they were really strong as well was turning the ball over. They only turned it over 9 total times, which Denver turned into 4 points. That's it. So the Pels played smart basketball, were really in control. And I'm going to write about this over the next day or so, but that Drew Holiday, Tim Frazier backcourt, again, combining for just 1 turnover, that is absolutely excellent. Teams can't punish you on mistakes you make if you're not really making any mistakes. And that's one of the reasons the Pelicans also managed to get a win here last night. Now, before I keep talking about this game, by the way, your company could be advertising right here. Sponsor Locked On Pelicans, and your company will reach a passionate 98% male audience that is 78% between the ages of 18 to 44 and 75% between 25 and 54. Recent studies have actually shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to interact with sponsors than other forms of media. Get your company great exposure right here on Locked On Pelicans. Rates are very reasonable and based solely on the number of listeners, so you get your value's worth. Email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. Spell the street however you want, but jake@bourbonstreetshots.com to get started today for your company on Locked On Pelicans. So let's talk some more now about how well the Pelicans played against Denver. And there's one stat that really jumps out at me when you jump into the NBA.com/stats box score and click on the player tracking data. And I always share this with you guys so you can see what I'm really looking at. And you guys have heard me talk about it, the contested field goal makes and the uncontested field goal makes and attempts in the field goal percentages on both of those. So uncontested, I'm not really concerned about with Denver. I want to look at their contested shots. So first, to give you some maybe context on this, the Pelicans took 41 contested shots. They made 23, and that's basically a defender close enough to you to kind of deal with it. Basically, it's under 4 feet. I think it's maybe 3 feet is what's considered a contested field goal attempt. Pels shot 56.1%, which is actually higher than what they shot on uncontested field goal attempts. And one of the reasons why it's often the case that the contested field goal percentage is higher than the uncontested field goal percentage is because those are the looks that are right at the rim. So yeah, you have a defender right there, but it doesn't mean that they can necessarily stop your shot, but they're able to at least kind of put a body on someone or try and make you alter the shot. But when you're right by the rim, it's easy for Anthony Davis to score, even if there's a guy standing right in front of him. So it's a bit misleading of a stat, but usually contested field goal percentage is going to show you kind of scoring near the paint and easier shots than that. But at least there's a defender there. It's not like you're wide open in doing it. So Denver, though, had 50 contested field goal attempts. They shot just, or they made just 18 of them. That is 36% makes. 20% lower than what the Pelicans made. Denver was a good offensive team. They had, this was their lowest scoring game of the season, I think. And it's like the first time since December 8th that they haven't scored over 100 points. So it goes to show you. That's because the Pels were so stout on the defensive end all night that it was quite surprising. I tweeted around halftime that the Pelicans, it wasn't that Denver was just missing shots or having an off night. This was the Pelicans contesting things, getting in there, forcing a few turnovers, but basically just eliminating shots at the rim with smart basketball and forcing, you know, the offensive players for Denver to alter their shot attempts. It was great overall team basketball. This is exactly what you want to see out of them. It was very impressive. They knew they needed to defend and play well, and they did. The high score for Denver last night was Mason Plumlee off the bench. In 19 minutes, scored 16 points. Nikola Jokic, who's been there, you know, near all NBA guys, scored 8 points. 4-14 shooting. Denver on the night shot 37.9%. And again, these weren't just wide open attempts that they were missing. These were contested looks that the Pelicans were getting hands on guys, hands up to, you know, in their face to kind of block shots a little bit, everything like that. They played so incredibly well. And this is largely, and this is a huge surprise, due to the second unit. Yeah, the Pels started to go on their run for this game when Anthony Davis was in, but all of a sudden he got subbed out. And the Pelicans ballooned to a 10-point lead. And it was that backup unit of Alexei Ajinsa, Jordan Crawford, Dante Cunningham, Tim Frazier, and Etuan Moore. They played 8 minutes together last night, the second most used lineup for the team. They scored 20 points in those 8 minutes and had a plus-minus of 12. So they were, it was 20-8 during that time. They shot it's unbelievable. I'm pulling it up right now. I had to change it on the NBA, the media stats site, so you guys can't normally just see this one. At an offensive rating of 129 for that lineup and a defensive rating of 47.1. That's a net rating of 77.9. Think about that for a second. A defensive rating of 47.1. It's unbelievable. They grabbed 90% of all defensive boards. They grabbed 25% of offensive boards. It's just a total team performance right there. They also had an assist turnover ratio of 25. So, you know, they weren't exactly, they turned it over in those 8 minutes on their possession 6.3% of the time. Just incredible overall for that lineup. And that was largely due to defense. Again, it wasn't Denver just missing open shots. It was Alexei Ajinsa being a tremendous rim protector last night, either forcing the Denver offensive players to alter their shot and miss because of that, or straight up blocking it. And then they were going down and scoring because Etuan Moore was going off, Tim Frazier was going, Jordan Crawford, you know, his instant offense off the bench. So it was just a great overall performance. The backups really stepped up in this, a game that the Pelicans absolutely had to win. And by the way, speaking of Frazier, I want to say this before I forget it now. And this is, again, per Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans beat writer for them. I like to steal his tweets when he tweets out some stats that I'm too lazy to look up. And so I'm, you know, so I give him credit here. Tim Frazier has 41 assists and 2 turnovers. In the last stretch of games, 41 assists and 2 turnovers. And again, I'm writing about this later in the week, so I don't want to spoil everything here. But Holiday plays significantly better in like one or two categories when Tim Frazier is on the court. And then he's basically the same in all the other categories than when Frazier's off. But those categories that he improves on when Frazier is on the court are very important categories for the team. So right now, Tim Frazier is kind of a catalyst for this team still being in contention for the 8th seed. So let's look to the league table and the NBA standings to talk about this for the Pels a little bit here. They are 4 games out of the 8th seed now. Denver is now out in the 9th spot, while Portland is in for the 8th. And then the Pels are still a half game back behind Dallas. So there's still 3 teams in the way. So again, this is going to be really hard over these final handful of games to get into the playoffs because they do not control their own destiny like they pretty much did the year they got swept by Golden State in the first round when they were only competing with Oklahoma City and then they had the tiebreaker over them. Not the case. The Pels do have 1 more against Portland, 2 more against Denver. They have to win those three if they want to even have a chance of getting in it. One loss to one of those teams and it's done, essentially. And they're still going to need some help. Denver, they actually might be able to jump. Denver, over I think their final 10 games, has only two more home games left, one of those being against the Pelicans. But they have a pretty tough record schedule coming up, and it's not going to be easy to do. Portland, on the other hand, though, has more home games than road games left, and they have the easiest strength of schedule remaining. Portland's the one they need to really, really worry about. And unfortunately, with only one more game against that team, you can't really take control and jump into the driver's seat against them. So that's going to be the problem. So you know what? Don't worry too much about playoffs. Just enjoy that there is meaningful basketball being played here in New Orleans. That's the biggest thing to take away. And notice that this offense is starting to come together even more. And despite the Boogie trade, they've been a top defensive team throughout the entire season, and especially since then. They've also jumped up to being the best defensive rebounding team since DeMarcus Cousins has arrived in New Orleans, and that's not a huge surprise either. So, again, look for the positives. Yeah, the lottery pick is sexy and fun to think about, but there's more important things as I've been kind of, you know, hitting the and, you know, beating this point to death probably throughout. So there's more important things at stake here for the long-term future of the franchise than a chance to draft a guy and have a chance that he'll work out. The chance or chance is what I've been saying, which I'm not particularly, you know, fond of trying to lose games for. Even if you don't win, but you still play well, that's a moral victory, and that's something this team it needs right now. You need to have momentum and build on this going into next season. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, sorry for the audio quality. I was just being an idiot and forgot my microphone. But great win for the Pelicans. Take on Utah tonight, the second night of a back-to-back in high altitude. Utah's kind of had their number this year. You remember the game last time they were in Utah, where they had a chance to win and actually beat the Jazz. However, second night of a back-to-back, both teams on the second night of a back-to-back, was pretty ugly basketball, to be honest. Utah's had a day to rest. Pelicans don't. Utah did clinch their playoff spot, at least getting in there somewhere. They're kind of still fighting for seeding, though, so they don't really have a reason to, say, rest people and not go out and play their hardest. But the Pels know that this is still a must-win game. You can't go 1-2 on this road trip. 2-1 is the minimum they need. If they fall another game back in the standings, pretty much it's going to be done. So we'll see what they do. Don't really want to preview this one too much for you guys, because who knows. DeMarcus Cousins is probably going to be a game-time decision. They said there's a chance he might play. The good thing about this being on the second night of a back-to-back, though, is no one really other than from the starters other than Tim Frazier played more than 30 minutes that last game. Tim Frazier played 36, but you know, Dante Cunningham played under 29 minutes. Anthony Davis played 28 minutes and a half. 31 points, 15 rebounds in 28 and a half minutes. Pretty damn impressive. Holiday was at 27 minutes. Etwan Moore, 26 minutes, and so on. No one over 30 minutes other than Tim Frazier, so they at least have a little bit of rest. That's nice to see. Hopefully they can do it against Utah. If they don't, and say we rule them out of playoff contention there, barring some crazy stuff happening, it's okay. As long as they're playing well and improving, I'm going to be happy. You should be happy too. So again, thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. The podcast is at Locked On Pels. Give it a follow. Give it a like on Facebook too. Subscribe to it on Audio Boom, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast app are. That's also what keeps this free for you guys. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.